Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Little Sisters of the Poor win again at the Supreme Court. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Holly, this is a great victory, 7-2 in favor of the Little Sisters of the Poor, and it actually resolves this case based upon the Trump administration's exemption for religious employers from the so-called Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And this Obamacare law required that employers, including nonprofit faith-based employers, provide insurance coverage for contraception and other abortion-inducing drugs and devices in their health insurance plans at no cost to the employee. This case has been going on for a number of years.
It finally reached the
Supreme Court again, a second time, and this was a 7-2 ruling. Now, let's be very clear. It did not address, it was not based upon religious freedom, because what they ultimately did is they ruled first on the non-constitutional issue. The non-constitutional issue is whether the Department of Health and Human Services had the authority under the Trump administration to promulgate these new rules defining what is to be included in the law's requirement of so-called preventative care and screenings in the health insurance plans. And they ruled in favor of the Trump administration, and frankly, some good language for the Trump administration in this case.
Well, absolutely. You know, these faithful sisters have been fighting this for 5 years, and they won previously in the Supreme Court and other courts, but these states came back after the Trump administration gave this exemption, and then they sued on those grounds. So they have been faithfully fighting this in order to not have to be forced to give out abortion-inducing drugs as part of their health insurance
plan. Yeah, this is a Catholic organization. They help the poor. They're called Little Sisters of the Poor, but they also help the poor.
Right, and they believe in the sanctity of human life.
They believe in the sanctity of human life, and there's no way that they're going to provide contraception or abortion-inducing drugs and devices. Mm-hmm. And provide it to their employees.
It's totally against their mission.
Even if none of them certainly would accept it. They don't want to do that because that's against their mission. They believe in the sanctity of human life. Why would they want to facilitate free of charge somebody's limiting or taking human life?
Right. Absolutely. It goes against their mission statement. So, you know, that they've been faithful in this battle for years, which is incredible. But it's great to see they finally got this victory.
Yeah, this is a good victory. So if you go back to 2012 and you have the Obamacare law, I remember when we messaged on this, and frankly, Liberty Counsel was the very first private lawsuit in the country. Mm-hmm. We filed suit against the Obamacare law on behalf of Liberty University and other organizations and people in Virginia. And this particular provision of the law, the statute just simply said that these health insurance policies needed to include preventative care and screenings, but it didn't describe what that preventative care and screenings included. Joe Biden and Obama were in a meeting, and they ultimately were discussing this issue when his administration, the Department of Health and Human Services, wanted to provide these guidelines, these rules that would describe what preventative care and screenings included. And they proposed to include contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices. And it was very clear. In fact, there was a Roman Catholic bishop that was in a meeting with Biden and Obama and said that this would directly collide with religious freedom and the beliefs of the Catholic Church or anyone else who's pro-life. And they knew it, and they did it anyway because they really didn't care. Their ideology of abortion really supersedes any kind of religious freedom or accommodation. Certainly, they don't care about the First Amendment, and they put it in there. Well, litigation ensued. The first case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court was the Burwell versus Hobby Lobby. It wasn't the actual first case. We actually had our case at the U.S. Supreme Court during that original 3 days of oral argument. The first day of the oral argument really was the case that our case presented before the U.S. Supreme Court. But the case of Hobby Lobby was a case of a for-profit company that also refused to provide the contraception abortion-inducing drugs and devices mandate. And the Supreme Court ultimately ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby in 2014. But that was only for the commercial for-profit organizations. It did not rule on the nonprofit. When it did rule for Hobby Lobby, it ruled under the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act that Hobby Lobby or other closely held companies, no matter how large they are, if they're operated and owned, run by Christians for Christian purposes and so forth, that this would interfere with their religious freedom under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and therefore gave them an exemption. But that still left unanswered the nonprofits. And you think, well, why would the nonprofits not be an answered question if the for-profits? Well, the reason is because the Obama administration came back with a proposed follow-up rule. Little Sisters of the Poor went to the Supreme Court. Other cases did too. Then it got sent back down to the lower court with the direction that they need to ultimately work on some kind of resolution. So here's what the Obama administration did. They came back and they said, all right, we won't force Little Sisters of the Poor directly or other faith-based organizations to provide contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices. You can designate a third party. In other words, you can designate your insurance company to do it, so they'll do it without you. Well, that makes no sense, because that really doesn't get the faith-based organization out of the decision process. What it does is it puts it on the back of a third party. And so it's like you saying, I won't take this drastic step to take a life of a person, but I'll appoint somebody else to do it on my behalf so I don't have to do it.
It's like a hitman or something. You're not actually kill the person, but you're going to hire someone to kill the person.
Exactly, you know? The process. And so that's the administration of Obama that came up with that.
He was notorious for putting the government on a collision course with religious employers, but you just can't do that.
No, and that's what happened here. So that was unacceptable. So the litigation continued. President Trump became president. And then he directed the Department of Health and Human Services, the same HHS that gave the original bad rule in the beginning under the direction of the Obama administration, to review all of these policies, not just this one, but all of them, to protect religious freedom.
Right.
And he did that to all the other agencies as well. So HHS came back, and they looked at the Hobby Lobby case of 2014, and they said, look, the handwriting's on the wall. We need to protect religious freedom. So we're going to draft a rule that exempts religiously affiliated organizations. They did. That should be the end of the story. But no, the states, the pro-abortion states, are run by Democratic governors or Democratic attorney generals. They said, no, we're going to force Little Sisters of the Poor and all these other faith-based organizations to still do it. We think that what President Trump did in the HHS is wrong. So that was the issue. That, and then the backup was the same thing of Hobby Lobby, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So what the Supreme Court did was they ruled and they said, no, the statute allows the administrative agency to do what it did, and it was the wise thing to do under the Trump administration because the handwriting was on the wall. We already said it violated religious freedom in 2014. And then they also talked about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act with some good language, but they didn't decide it on that question.
Right. And, you know, Justice Thomas in this win wrote for the majority, and he said, the only question we face today is what the plain language of the statute authorizes. And the plain language of the statute clearly allows the departments to create the preventive care standards as well as the religious and moral exemptions.
Now, here's another footnote, and this is a big one, and that is this. What happens if President Trump is not president and you get somebody like Obama or somebody else, like, say, Joe Biden or somebody else, and they want to go back to the way it was before. Can they do it? Yes, they can. Yes, they can, because it's not based on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And then what would happen? You have to start this litigation all over again and eventually go back to the Supreme Court and have them decide the Religious Freedom Restoration Act issue. Now, I think we win on that, but it's another long trip to the U.S. Supreme Court. Bottom line, however, is this is a great victory at this point for religious freedom and for religious-based organizations. For more information, visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.